It's Live and Local, your connection to local music and more. I'm Kevin Kelly. It's just after 12 noon. On the show today, we have a member of a band that calls itself White Ghost Shivers. We'll find out why in a little while. And also, the piano trio made up of three sisters, all named An. Last name, of course. The An Trio are going to be at the Dowden Fine Arts Center in Charleston twice this weekend, with an evening performance Friday, their own recital that includes a world premiere, and then they're going to be performing on Sunday afternoon with the Eastern Symphony Orchestra at 4 o'clock with a piece with the interesting title of Hardware Concerto by Kenji Bunch. It's the An Trio and White Ghost Shivers on Live and Local. Stay tuned. We just heard a tune called Oh Malloy from a disc called Everyone's Got 'Em, featuring a band that is called White Ghost Shivers. They're going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Arts on Saturday at 7:30. And on the phone with me now is one of their founding members. His name is Weston Borghese. Although, you guys, Weston, give yourselves all kinds of kind of goofball names in the band, and I don't have any idea which one of these you are.
That's sort of part of the mystique. You know, we want to keep people guessing. And
so you're not going to tell me, is that what you're saying?
My personal stage name is generally Shorty something. Shorty something.
Well, I can figure it out from here.
Shorty's good.
Yeah. Can I say what you play, or do you want to say what you play? It's a long list here.
Well, over the years we've all, switched instruments and done things like that. I think in the earlier years we used to do a lot more instrument switching. Now, sort of just primarily stick to one instrument just so we can keep the show rolling along and make it fast-paced and sort of more vaudevillian feeling. Currently myself, I just sort of stick to the tenor banjo, but in the past there's been a lot of, I've done some ukulele and guitar, some tuba,
kazoo,
doing some jug and nose flute, and I even fooled around with cello once for a very, very short time.
Well, you have a great description of yourselves on your website. If I can sort of read it from the distance at which I have it right here, it says you revel in string band music from the 20s and 30s, mixing early jazz, hokum, vaudeville, ragtime, western swing, and hillbilly. Is that as succinct a description as one could come up with for your band?
Yeah, pretty much. I would say that that is a pretty good description as long as, everyone's familiar with, some of those styles thrown in that description, a lot of people may not be familiar with just because they're a little bit, like hokum.
Yeah, I was going to ask promoting the show, I used the term hokey, but that could be a very different kind of thing.
That's actually a very close sort of description of what hokum is sort of hokum or corny. Hokum, like hokum blues was a specific style right in the mid-30s, about 35 through 37. And it was just this sort of distinct style of blues that sort of sounded jazzy, sort of sounded a little bit close to western swing. But it was played primarily by bluesmen, and really, really catchy stuff. But it was just a really short little spurt there in history. As far as like the string band and the hillbilly references, that's referring to, say, pre-bluegrass sort of music, before bluegrass was termed, that's sort of what it was more coined. point is just hillbilly music. Or
what's your own background and that of your co-founder Jeremy Slamenda that brought you to this to this combination of music?
I think him and I and really just about everyone else in the band in some way, shape, or form sort of came, you know, we all grew up in the 70s and the 80s, so we either all grew up listening to punk rock or metal or just rock or rock and roll of some kind, and especially as teenagers and things. So I think those are all, that's all music that really has a certain level of energy. And you know, that kind of music all links back essentially to the blues and jazz in some way, shape, or form. So I think it's after we, you know, after our teens, after getting all the angst and all that loud stuff sort of out of the way, we sort of, I think it was just something that just happened to all of us sort of around the same time, as we just started discovering old, you know, New Orleans style jazz and old Delta blues and Western swing and all these things. And I think subconsciously, I mean, just without even really thinking about it, it sort of had the same energy, and it just transferred over a bit, and we just really found ourselves drawn to it. And we all just sort of happened to move to Austin around the same time, the late 90s, and sort of kind of met each other.
And you're all still based in Austin, Texas?
Yes, mm-hmm.
There's another group that we had here featured on the show. They were up at the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival last fall. That, you know, isn't exactly the same kind of music, but it's not unrelated either. Is the Hot Club of Cowtown?
Yeah.
Are these guys friends of yours, or?
They are. Yeah. Interesting enough. Well, John, our clarinet player, he spent some time touring with Whit Smith there from Hot Club of Cowtown. Mm. And we all, you know, we're all familiar with each other. It's a very, you know, small and sort of, you know, mixed scene. I mean, everybody sort of knows each other that plays sort of traditional music. But strangely, they are sort of amongst other, you know, Austin bands. I think when I was living in Seattle in the late 90s, and I just all of a sudden started hearing all these different bands that were coming out of Austin playing somewhat similar music, you know, either traditional jazz or blues or Western swing or bluegrass. And I happened to be working at a record store, and it was right when Hot Club of Cowtown's first album came out, and it sort of caught my eye because it was bright red, and I just saw Hot Jazz, Hot Swing on the cover. I said, oh, I'll check this out. And it was sort of right when I was really getting into the old jazz and blues, and so I took it home, and it just blew me away. I'd never really heard Western swing before, you know. And then they had done a few Bob Wills and Spade Cooley tunes I saw, and I saw these names, so I went and bought their albums the next day, and it just blew me away when I heard, you know, Bob Wills and Spade Cooley. It just seemed like music from outer space to me. I just couldn't believe it existed, and not more people knew about it. It was just this amazing mixture of music and just styles. And as soon as I discovered Bob Wills, I knew all these, you know, modern bands were coming out of Austin playing this stuff, I made a really quick decision to move to Austin as soon as I could, and I was here 6 months later.
And that was how long ago?
That was in 99.
So I
moved here summer in 99.
It's obviously worked out pretty well.
Yeah, it's actually worked out just as I was hoping, and even exceeded it a little bit, yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to ask the obvious question in just a few minutes, but first, let's have another tune from White Ghost Shivers. This is still from the same album. This is from a few years ago, right? Everyone's got them, this album?
Yes, this is 4 or 5 years back. Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to hear a nice slow ballad from there called Made for Two. Any introduction needed before we just listen?
Well, just a quick one. This is a wonderful example of us. This is actually the first tune that we actually all co-wrote together as a band in the same room. We made this for a friend's wedding, and it was our first one, and now we've, you know, started writing more songs together in the same room a little bit more often, and this was the first one.
Well, it's a nice tune for a wedding, so it's made for two. From White Ghost Shivers, we're talking with Weston Borghese, who is one of the founding members. They're going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts Saturday night, at 7:30, and you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. That was called Made for Two, performed by White Ghost Shivers. It's their own creation here on Live and Local, and they're going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts on Saturday night. You can go to the Bloomington Center's website. I actually always forget what it's called, but the whole arts website in Bloomington is artsblooming.org, and you can find the BCPA calendar on there. And Weston Borghese is with us on the phone. He's a member of the group, whose stage name will, I guess, more or less remain a secret. But I'll just tell you the name of everybody who's there. Hot Thomas, is it Popiticus? Is that how he says his name?
Popiticus, yeah.
Popiticus, Smoke Breaks, Slamenda, Cella Blue,
mm-hmm.
Shorty Stump, and Duchess Doyle. And you said you've added somebody recently, or has one of those been traded out?
Yeah, we added someone else. We're still toiling around with a proper stage name, but right now we're just calling him Babyface Finster.
So on the topic of names, the obvious question, where on earth did you get the name White Ghost Shivers for the name of a band?
That was sort of a mistake, like a lot of things that we do. It was the day before our very first show that we ever did. And we had been rehearsing for a good year and a half without ever playing. We were just rehearsing and this whole time never had a name. And so it was the eve of our first gig, and we were getting together the night before and rehearsing, and just decided, look, we're just going to come up with a temporary name and we can change it after this. We just need something for this first show. And so as everyone's arriving, we're playing this CD, and one of the tunes is a tune called White Ghost Shivers from a band called the New Orleans Owls, and it was recorded back in about 1926 in New Orleans. And so me and one of our guitar players at the time, Omar, we were sitting there listening to it, and the violin player Hot Thomas walks in and says, "Oh, what's this?" We're like, "Oh man, this is a tune we want to cover at some point." And he's like, "Oh, what's it called?" We said, "White Ghost Shivers." And he just sort of looked at us and said, "Hey, that'd be a good band name." And we all just sort of looked at each other and said, "Yeah, sure." And I think even then we still weren't quite sure, but we're like, "Oh, that's good enough for a temporary name." And then it just stuck and just never went away.
And the title track for the CD from which we're playing these tunes on this interview actually has that phrase in there. But I gather, is that the song you heard, or you just worked that phrase into the song?
No, it's actually just an original I wrote for our first two records. Where, you know, I wanted to sort of try to have a good, sort of almost like a theme song of the record. To just, so our first album, the first song was White Ghost Shivers Ball, and that album was called Hokum If You Got 'Em. And then the next album, I wrote the song Everyone's Got 'Em, and then it'd be, and then, you know, in parentheses, White Ghost Shivers, and then that sort of had a similar theme to the other album's title, Everyone's Got 'Em, Hokum, or Hokum If You Got 'Em. So yeah, so those are sort of unintentional kind of theme songs, just written.
Self-references.
Yeah.
So let's talk just briefly before we play one more tune about the whole stage presence thing. I mean, usually the old-time bands of many kind, you know, they could sit down and they play their thing, and that's great, but it looks like the vaudeville part of the description that I gave earlier is very visual for you guys, with costumes, different get-ups, stage shtick going on, plus, you know, your stage names. Mm-hmm. Where did that all come from?
That really, like, just like so many aspects of this band. I mean, you know, musically and all these days, the songwriting and then the stage presence. It all really just sort of happened organically together. We, you know, when we started this band, we were getting to know each other, and we were also all just, we'd been listening to this kind of music for a few years, and so we were all just growing and playing this music out of the love for it. And so, yeah, when our first couple shows, we actually sat down and played and, you know, wore T-shirts and shorts or whatever, just didn't, you know, whatever. But we just slowly just sort of started picking it up, picking the pace up. I think, you know, at one point, you know, about, I don't know, 8, 9 years ago, I started, you know, getting into various sort of vintage swing dancing and things like that. So I started, you know, taking dance classes and learning tap. And right around this time, Cella Blue entered the band, and she brought this whole other energy to the band, you know, really peppy. And so then her and I really had this chemistry, and she would bring out a lot more playfulness in me, and then vice versa. And then our trumpet player at the time, Oliver, he also joined the band, and he really had a great history of theater and music and clowning and vaudeville and improvising. He was just a real phenomenal performer, and we all just really gelled together on stage, and just it just sort of started coming out. And then, you know, that energy of, you know, all the punk rock and things like that we sort of came up with, that sort of had a play in it. And of course, along the way, I was reading a lot up on vaudeville and looking at all those old Vitaphone shorts and just getting inspired along the way, and just sort of happened and just kind of grew out of nowhere and just continues to do so.
So besides the music, folks are going to get a stage show that has more or less a plan from beginning to end?
Yes, very well said. It's we never plan anything. It's never a set show. Generally, the sets are almost always different, and there's a lot of improvising. But then there's also a lot of things that are set in each song that we, you know, we will continue to do over and over. But most of those actions, most of those things, the shticks are sort of they were born out of improvising. So we'll improvise and come up with something funny, and then it'll stick, and we'll just keep doing it. And so there's a little bit of, you know, improvising in each show, and a little bit of not. So,
and either way, it's a lot of fun. Folks can check out some videos on your website, which is, what is it? I can't find it on my desk.
www.whiteghostshivers.com.
Yeah, I mean, the page I'm looking at has a whole bunch of numbers, but that's much easier, whiteghostshivers.com. Well, my guest's been Weston Borghese, who is one of, I guess, 7 members of the band right now?
Yes, 7 members now.
Called White Ghost Shivers. They're going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts Saturday night at 7:30, and you can get tickets on their website. Just Google, or go to artsblooming.org and look for the main stage for the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. And let's see, we'll go out with another tune from your disc, Everyone's Got 'Em. This is called Little Kisses. And by the way, what's your current, most recent album? I didn't find it on the website.
We just are finishing up our newest record. We just recorded it in December. And we are just finishing up mixing it, and I'm about to send it to get mastered. And it should be out by spring, summer at the very latest, but pretty soon, and we're real happy with it. It's going to be a killer. So
should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for joining us on the show, and have a good show on Saturday.
Well, thanks for for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Music by White Ghost Shivers. That was, I forgot which tune we just played of theirs, but I announced it at the beginning, and this is Live and Local on FM 90.9. They're going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts on Saturday at 7:30. And coming up in just a few minutes, we have the On Trio with us in the studio. They're going to be playing twice this week in Charleston, Friday night giving their own recital at the Dowden Fine Arts Center, and then Sunday afternoon performing with the Eastern Symphony Orchestra. Our show today is made possible by Columbia Street Roastery, offering over 30 varieties and blends of whole bean or ground coffee at 24 East Columbia in Champaign. Coffee, tea, and chai are available from their retail store, in local restaurants, and through Columbia Street Roastery's coffee service. More information is available at 352-9713. Looking at some other items on our calendar before we get with the ons, it's the Parkland Traditional Jazz Band at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight at 7 o'clock. The University of Illinois New Music Ensemble is at the Krannert Center in Urbana tonight at 7:30. It's Old Number 7 playing bluegrass, old time, and country music at Rose Bowl Tavern in Urbana tonight at 9 o'clock. The University of Illinois Wind Orchestra is at the Krannert Center in Urbana tomorrow night at 7:30. The Woody Woodward Organ Trio is at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. It's Happy Hour Jazz with the University of Illinois it's with the Jim Pugh Jazz Trio at the Emerald City Lounge tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Jeff Arrigo is a singer-songwriter. He's at Clark Bar in Champaign tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. It's the Las Vegas Tribute to Motown. If you want to take a little road trip from our listening area to the Effingham Performance Center, that is at 7:30 on Wednesday evening. And Thistle and Thyme play Celtic music at the Trout Lily Cafe in Springfield tomorrow at noon. It's Live and Local. Here are the On Trio playing Astor Piazzolla's Oblivion. That's a take on Astor Piazzolla's piece called Oblivion by the On Trio. It's from their disc called Lullaby, for my favorite Insomniac. I can tell this is going to be one of those days here. And the On Trio are with me in the studio right now, and that, yes, they're laughing at me, and I probably deserve it.
We're laughing with you.
Oh, thank you very much.
With you.
You guys were here, well, you said 2 years ago. Maybe it was 2 years ago.
I think it was 2 years ago.
It feels like last year. Yeah.
Well, I mean, all of the traveling you do, I mean, place to place, that all must run together at some level.
I think the ones that really stand out are the ones on different continents. But, you know, in the middle, in the Midwest or in the East, it's hard to really differentiate so much.
Oh, Americans don't want to hear that.
Well, it's just because we go to so many towns.
Sure.
It's just difficult.
But remember, we remember this place.
Well, we certainly remember Doudna at Eastern
Illinois. Yeah, because it's beautiful.
Because it's stunning.
It really stands out.
Well, I saw that in the press release that the Doudna Fine Arts Center sent out, which was that you ranked the auditorium there as... What do they call the hall? The Dvorak Concert Hall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As among the top 10 places
Definitely.
You've played.
Yeah, because it has such a beautiful acoustic, but also visually, it's a beautiful concert hall.
Quite stunning.
And we loved it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we certainly think it's one of the top 10.
It's the stage is all copper clad.
Yeah. So see, in that case, it's very memorable. It something has to stand out like that for us to really remember.
Or this radio station.
Or the radio station, yeah. Well, you weren't in this room last time. Nice of you to say that. Well, the Entrio, the reason they're here is that they're going to be playing at the Dowdna Fine Arts Center in Charleston twice this weekend. Friday night, they're giving a recital that includes a world premiere, and then Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, they're playing with the Eastern Symphony Orchestra, a rather interesting-sounding piece that we may have a chance to sample before we're done. Did you come back specifically to do the recital first, and then you were asked to play with the symphony as long as you were here, or was it the other way around?
Well, we were planning for a one-week mini residency at the university so that we could spend time with the students and do a lot of educational programs and community outreach programs, and so then it made sense for us to do more than one concert.
But also the whole week was planned around the big premiere. That was the driving force.
Right.
So what all are you doing while you're on campus?
We're mostly rehearsing that new piece. It's by Nikolai Kapustin, and it's a pretty difficult piece, but very interesting piece of work that he wrote for us. And so we're spending time rehearsing, and yesterday we met up with 400 middle school kids from Mattoon High School, and we
middle
did a work
too.
Middle school, yeah. And we did a workshop with them where we performed for them and we talked to them, and it was a very good experience.
Yeah, and we'll spend time with the students at the Eastern Illinois University.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, we love doing all those kind of extra things because it's we get to have more of a in-depth experience of where we're spending time.
Do you do it in a masterclass setting? Do they sit in on your rehearsals?
We do different types of classes, and yesterday was sort of a talk play, a very informal student concert where we talk to the students and take questions, but we also perform for them.
And you do a lot of world premieres. I mean, you're doing this premiere by Nikolai Kapustin, who, by the way, I have a quote for, who pulled off of your website. He says, quote, "I became somewhat tired of 19th century music. Preferable are either Sebastian Bach or Entrio," unquote, which is sort of an interesting way to put it. I mean, there's 19th century music, there's Bach, and then there's the Ons. What's your relationship with him? How did you get to know him, and what was the process of getting this work commissioned, if in fact you commissioned it?
The very first time we heard Nikolai Kapustin's music was actually at a friend of ours' apartment in Minneapolis. We were performing in Minneapolis, and we happened to be just visiting this friend, and he played us a solo piano album of Nikolai Kapustin. And immediately, it's one of those things where you listen to it and immediately you say, I need to know who this is.
Well, we instantly fell in love with his music. That's what happened.
Perform this person's music. And he's, what's really unique about him is, for me more than anything else, he is a brilliant classical, you know, Moscow Conservatory virtuoso classical pianist. And then he's this stunning jazz musician. So he really, when you listen to his music, he travels between the two worlds. Everything you hear of Kapustin's music almost sounds like the musicians are improvising.
But he hates to improvise, so he writes down every note. So he is composing like a classical composer and notating every little improvisation
but
that
he does.
But
he's also a jazz musician?
He's also a jazz
but
musician.
But that's what makes it really hard to learn his music, because everything sounds like it's an improvisation, but it's written out, so you have to be perfect and you have to be exact to the notation
right,
that
in
he
that
gave.
Way, it's actually very traditionally classical, because it's so, we have to look at every marking in the score and really follow everything.
But after we heard his music for the first time, we were looking, you know, Googling Nikolai Kapustin to see if he had any piano trios. He had none. So then we got in touch with him, and he lives in Moscow, doesn't like to travel, really interesting,
doesn't like
you
to
know,
fly.
Composer. And so we asked him if he would consider
and
writing
then he said no.
For us.
And he said, no, I don't believe that the violin, the piano, and the cello blend well. You know, as three instruments, and it's really difficult to write for. And
we were quite persistent.
We were very persistent, and then we said, well, you know, Tchaikovsky said the same thing and went on to write one of the most brilliant pieces. I mean, we think so. We love the piece, and that and I think, you know, we sent him a lot of our CDs, and we changed his mind.
So he wrote us a trio many years, about 4 or 5 years ago, said, "This is my first and last trio that I am writing. This one that will be premiering is the second trio that he's writing for us."
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we're really
so we feel
thrilled.
Very honored.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations on converting him and getting him to put you up on a level with Sebastian Bach.
Well, that was a very generous.
You know, the composers often are surprising us in many ways because, you know, for example, Pat Metheny, the jazz guitarist, we approached him and we asked him to write us a trio, and he said, "Oh no, I don't think I can do that. I've never written for a classical group before, and I would have to go and study the piano trio repertoire and really learn the craft before I will write for you. So maybe wait 5 years." Well, that weekend he went home and wrote us a trio. So you could never really believe what they say.
Maybe they just need a little push.
Well, apparently you all just went in and batted your eyes, right? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. We're talking with the On Trio, who it occurs to me I didn't actually introduce you individually.
Oh.
Angela is the violinist, mm-hmm. who is
the youngest.
I was going to say on my left, but that's immaterial, isn't it?
The important thing is I'm the youngest.
Is that true?
Yes.
But no one thinks you're the youngest.
That actually wouldn't have been my guess. I mean, not... But maybe you know why that is.
You're getting
in trouble. Okay,
no, the reason is I figured this out. So you've only been teaching at Montana State University for a couple years.
Yes, this is my
second year.
It's
the maturity of being a professor.
Aha, uh-huh. I see. Thank you.
That's what it is.
Nice way of trying to turn that around.
Yeah,
it's true though. We spent a week in Bozeman, Montana, where Angela lives and teaches at the university. And we met a lot of her students because we were playing with the symphony there. And yeah, they all said that she's a great teacher. And I said, "Well, is she a scary teacher?" And they said, "No."
Well, implying that you're not a great teacher if you're not scary? Or
No, I think they all love Angela as a teacher. And she is a great teacher.
And this is Lucia who is talking, who is the pianist.
Yes. Yes.
And one of a pair of twins, along with Maria, who is the cellist.
Yes. Except I'm 10 minutes younger.
You have this thing about who's younger, don't you?
I know. Well, you know, as you get
the
older,
listeners are curious.
I don't. Clearly, I'm not saying anything.
Because you're the eldest.
Right. But nobody ever thinks that, so I don't have to
worry
about it.
But as you get older.
It's that we grew up in a Korean family where the whole hierarchy of age is so important. So even if it's 10 minutes or
the older
a few
you are,
months,
the more respect you get
in
our culture.
Well, and more responsibility. You know, for example, when we were growing up and we were just in our early teens, our parents would leave us and then we would be in charge of Maria being the oldest, even though she's only 10 minutes older. So
would be in charge of us.
Well, right. They would put Maria in charge of us. Yeah.
And I would
was
get
really
in trouble
important.
If my sisters were not behaving.
So do you find, Maria, that you get the respect that you deserve?
Of course. All the time. I have this authority.
No, the nicest thing about being a trio, I would say, is that all of us are, it's an equal partnership. We all have our responsibilities and we all bring to the table different projects. And we'll have discussions and
different responsibilities.
We're very fair and it's very equal. And I think for the three of us, that works out well because all of us are very stubborn. We don't want to necessarily listen to each other's.
But that comes with being as sisters, doesn't it?
I think so.
Yes. Right, of course.
But I think it's also being in a piano trio. You know, it's very sort of distinctive instruments, like Nikolai Kapustin said. It's not so blendable, but we do have to blend a little bit, and so it's a balance.
Although I'll bet you know, having somebody say, "Oh, I don't think your instruments blend," had to have been a challenge. That you're not going to say that about our group.
Well, I think it depends on how you listen and how you perceive, because I think on one hand, piano trios don't really blend like the string quartets, for example. But we do have to sort of give each other room to come out when each one of us need to come out and blend when we need to blend. And so it's, I think it's a really fun challenge.
It's always about balancing and juggling.
Well, I wonder if that maybe explains why there really aren't that many piano trios. I mean, typically a composer writes one, two, or three, and that's about it.
Right. Compared to the string quartet repertoire, the piano trio repertoire is much smaller.
And maybe it is a challenge.
Right, but that's why we play a lot of new music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We get new trios.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of, we have a disc here called Groove Box with the On Trio, and the first track on it is by The Doors, as in the rock band.
Yeah.
Or whatever kind of music. What did you call the music that they... I mean, that's rock, I guess.
Yeah, that's rock.
It's so hard to classify.
Yeah.
Riders on the Storm, their probably most famous tune. And what's the name? I can't quite read the name of the arranger here. Michal
Ratay is a Czech composer who made a transcription for us. And we wanted to create the storm sounds just with the three instruments, unlike the Doors recording where he used a recording of real rainstorms and raindrops. We just created all those sounds just with our instruments.
I like the instrumental version.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I actually use a tennis ball to drop into the strings in the piano, inside the piano, and create sort of the stormy sounds.
You just gave away the secret.
Well, for the listeners, they don't know.
Well, I guess that's right. Because if you were doing it live, you would see.
And which we are at the concert on Friday.
Oh, this will be on the Friday, on the recital.
Yeah, in the second half, yeah.
All right. It's the On Trio playing the Doors, Riders on the Storm. We'll hear part of this anyway, and they'll be playing it on Friday night at 7:30 at the Downing Fine Arts Center in Charleston. They're with us on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That was a sample of Riders on the Storm by The Doors, arranged by Michal Ratay. Did I say that right?
Yeah, that was perfect.
I pay attention now and then. Arranged for and performed by the On Trio on their CD on the EMI Classics label called Groove Box. And they'll be playing that piece, among others, including the world premiere that we mentioned earlier, on their recital Friday night at 7:30 at the Doudna Fine Arts Center on the campus of Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. Programs today on FM 90.9 are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting audiences to end their workday on Friday, February 18th with a free traffic jam concert featuring the Brat Pack. More information is at krannertcenter.com. And if you want more information on the On Trio's performances this weekend, you can go to the Doudna Fine Arts Center website, which is eiu.edu/Doudna, D-O-U-D-N-A. What else is on that program on Friday?
We're going to do a Brazilian composer named Nelson Iris. He's an amazing jazz pianist and a composer living in Brazil. And he wrote an original work for our Brazilian project, where it was Maria's idea, and she, for a few years...
I had to convince my sister to
do it. Yeah, she said, I want to do a Brazilian album. And she talked to Angela and me for... many years until we agreed. She convinced us. But actually, it was a great idea because we took a lot of sort of the classic Brazilian songs, and some of them we did transcriptions, and then we also did some original pieces by Brazilian composers.
So we'll be playing the one by Nelson Iris, and it's a beautiful piece. It's a landscape piece. It's in three parts, and every movement is a different landscape in Brazil, and it's really one of our favorite pieces, so we'll be playing that. We'll be doing a new piece by Kenji Bunch that we just premiered in December. It's called Concrete Stream, and it's, again, a very visual piece.
Well, it was written for us, but it was used for our collaboration with 90 Chan Dance Company based in New York. So the piece was choreographed as well. And,
right. I mean, it was really written with the music and dance to go together in mind. And so it's a very visual piece. And
But we won't be dancing on Friday night.
No.
Do you normally?
No. Well, in that piece, Angela has a little part where she walks at the end. But I don't
she
think
had
we
to
would
practice doing that,
that
very
yeah.
much.
Yeah.
Just we're not very talented dancers.
And then also at some point the dancers were under the piano and everything, which was very
and
cool.
Then the
so I don't have
were
dancers
around me while I was
for
playing.
This
I mean, it
concert,
was, it,
but
it was a really fun project.
But the music is beautiful, and so we will be playing that piece, that new piece.
This is the Kenji Bunch piece.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you have this thing for music by Kenji Bunch. You've recorded a lot of it, and you're doing another one on Sunday with mm-hmm. Eastern Symphony.
Yes, the
well,
hard
we
work
really
concerto.
Feel like Kenji's a little bit like Leonard Bernstein of our time. You know, he's just, he takes a lot of the different genres of music that he grew up with, and he's just putting them in his own voice, and it's
we
really
went to
brilliant.
Juilliard together, and that's where we met Kenji. And he was a viola major, and then for his master's, he decided to do composition and viola, double major. And he's really amazing at both. And on top of it, he's an amazing fiddle player. So he sings and plays the fiddle in Citygrass. It's a band that's based in New York.
Bluegrass band.
He's one of those really multi-talented.
Yeah.
You know, just amazing talent.
But we're really excited to play the Hardware Concerto because it's unlike any other concerto that we play.
Well, why is it called that?
It's because we use hardware for the concert, and Lucia plays the keyboard and piano, alternates between the two, and Angela and I use guitar amps, and Angela even uses a wah-wah pedal. So we have a lot of gear, hardware on stage with us when we play this piece.
This is Kenji's kind of concept for what a concerto might be in the 21st century. So instead of taking the really very traditional instruments and adding to them all the technology that we have developed in the last 50, 60 years. So, you know, what can you do to the string instruments? Well, you can actually use a pickup and get the sound from the guitar amps. You can use a keyboard to create different sounds that are different from just a traditional piano. And then the whole idea of the orchestra versus the soloist. I mean, it's just really interesting. There's a huge drum part and there's a real groove. The movement that we'll be playing on Sunday is the Bollywood movement. So he took all these
right. I also think there's a lot of humor in his music too. You know, in the third movement, it has a lot of funk and sort of 70s TV influence.
But on Sunday, we'll be just doing the first movement.
Right.
Well, that apparently will substitute for, I think, one of the movements of the Beethoven Pastoral Symphony, because they're doing that piece incomplete also.
Uh-huh.
Doing
oh, some really?
Well, that's what I read in the, let's see, what does it say here?
Okay.
They're doing movement one of the Hardware Concerto, and, oh, it doesn't say in the, I must have gotten it, must have got it in an email somewhere, but I think they're doing most of the Pastoral Symphony.
Interesting.
Well, I think that goes really well.
Very well.
I mean, well, I hope that it will. Sergei Pavlov is conducting the Eastern Symphony this weekend, while Richard Rossi is on sabbatical this semester, and the On Trio will be performing with them. That's at 4 o'clock on Sunday, and then their recital on Friday is at 7:30 in both of those concerts in the Dvorak Concert Hall of the Doudna Fine Arts Center, which they call among the top 10 halls that they have played in around the world, which is quite a compliment to a pretty striking looking and sounding place. Well, you know, we're already at the end of the time, I'm sort of sorry to say, because I have this whole string of questions I was going to ask you. And we'll just have to save it for your next appearance here.
Okay.
It's Angela and Lucia and Maria Ann, violin, piano, and cello in that order. Thank you very much for coming in on the
Thank
show.
You for
Thank
having
you
me.
For
Thanks
having
so much
us.
For having us. And if you want to hear more of our music, you should go to our website, which is ontrio.com.
Very good. The marketing people paid you to do that.
you pay
them.
Pay
yeah, that's right. Well, here, since we're just 2 days out of Valentine's Day, here's Rodgers and Hart's My Funny Valentine, arranged by Kenji Bunch.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And this is
it's his take.
His take on it. And their take on his take on it. The Lullaby for My Favorite Insomniac is the name of the album. And, I better do this before we launch into the music and do what I'm officially supposed to do, which is say that you're listening to Illinois Public Media, WYNL FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. We have support not only from our listeners, but also from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 2 to 6 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting features a selection of 10 wines that are completely new to the store. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. It's live and local on FM 90.9.